I will be reading Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling in Mount Zion, for there his Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore.
So I figure that everyone's still tripping on tryptophan from all the turkey they had this past week. So to begin, I wanted to do a special little test. Now, you're about to see a video, and perhaps you've seen the video before. If you have, please don't say anything because it ruins it for everybody else, okay? If you do, if you haven't seen it and you do catch on and you are able to solve the riddle or puzzle, please still don't say anything, okay? Let's see how good we are at paying attention.
This is a test of selective attention. Count how many times the players wearing white pass the basketball. How many passes did you count?
What'd you get?
The correct answer is 15 passes. But did you see the gorilla?
You know, I was convinced that they were just messing with me, so I watched it again two or three more times just to make sure the gorilla actually did come through in the first time, and yes, the gorilla indeed did do that. So just out of curiosity, and hey, we're in church, so you better be honest, who actually saw the gorilla, just out of curiosity? Okay, some of you are pretty good. Keep your hand up if you also counted 15 passes. Let's see who. Okay, all right, so we have a few honest people and a few liars. All right, that's good. That's great. Good to see. So sometimes we get, and here's why I show that, sometimes we get so enamored with what we're focusing on and what we're paying attention to that it seems like there's times when we just forget what we're supposed to be looking at as far as the bigger picture goes. How often have we decided that we want to put our foot down and say that we are right about something and we refuse to even look at the potential and possibility that we might not be entirely correct. Or, dare I say, that perhaps the other side is correct and our side of the discussion is correct. And this happens in a whole lot of ways. I want to start with the first one. This is Daniel chapter 7. This is really interesting because this goes back to a debate that Jewish people, new Christians, they were all having about who is Jesus, right? So they have, and Jewish leaders, they've basically memorized the Old Testament. They memorized the prophets. So they're looking for this Messiah. And they're looking and trying to see, like, what are some signs that we can see? Because God said he's coming and here's what he might look like. And so there's a lot of debate about exactly who Jesus is or was. In Daniel 7, he says this, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Jesus referred to himself multiple times during his ministry as the Son of Man. And so a lot of people began saying, this is the Son of Man. Jesus is the Son of Man. There is something royal about him. However, there was another camp. There's another camp of people who said, no, Jesus was, you know, Son of Man, that's great. And maybe he thought he was Son of Man. He was not the Son of Man because of what happened during his crucifixion. He was the suffering servant. And what that's a reference to is Isaiah chapter 53, starting in verse, well, I'm going to start in verse 10. It's basically an entire chapter of scripture, but I'll just read this one little chunk. It said, "It was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer, and though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offering and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors, for he bore the sin of many and made intercession with the transgressors. So, this was the camp, and this was the debate, this was the discussion, where they said, who was Jesus? And so there was a camp that said, he was the Son of Man. And then there was this other camp said, no, he was the suffering. Did you see what happened to him on the cross and how he was despised? He was condemned by his own people and sent to die a thief or a murderer's death. And he called himself the Son of Man, and he came on the cloud, you know, just like he talked about. And this went back and forth and back and forth. And no one at that time really thought, what if Jesus is both? What if he is in fact both the suffering servant and the Son of Man? What if these prophecies actually both talk about Jesus, because he did suffer? He was despised and rejected, pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, but he does come on the cloud because he is the Son of God. They never even thought about that, and they were so busy trying to prove the other wrong that they forgot to think, what if Jesus is one in the same? Sometimes we get so enamored and we don't want to look at the other perspective and the other possibility. So we zoom in on things, right? We think, well, maybe if we break down the argument, and think, okay, if they can see these little nitty-gritties, if they can see the fundamentals, if they can see the elements of how everything is composed, then they'll notice, then they'll realize, then they'll change. And so if you look at this dry erase marker, for those of you going to Bible classes, I believe every Bible class has dry erase markers in it. And if you look, we can see in three dimensions, right? So you can see the front, the sides, top, all over. But let's pretend for just a minute that we live in cartoon world, and there is only two dimensions that we can see. Now, if I held this dry erase marker and you are looking, I can't do this straightforward because of the way this room is set up, but if you were looking at this straightforward, so if I'm facing the sound booth right now, if the people in the sound booth are in the back and they are looking directly at it, if they were to look at what shape this is, two-dimensional only, the only thing you can come to conclusion of is that this marker is a rectangle, only from two dimensions. But if I turn it, and the people in the sound booth from two dimensions see only the front of this marker, and I said, what shape is it? They would say, well, it's a circle. And so if I were to ask you, what is this marker? Is it a circle or is it a square? And this is what tends to happen, is we become so, well, we saw the square first, we saw the rectangle first, so it must be a rectangle. Well, then the circle came along. Circles are way cooler than rectangles, so let's go with a rectangle. But rectangle. Well, what if the answer is yes? It's both. How much blood has been spilt on so many different arguments where perhaps the answer the whole time is, yep, that's the truth. Because we got so focused on zoning in and seeing exactly what it was that we forgot to simply zoom out and see what God was calling us to truly look at from a bigger picture. If we believe in a cosmic God, then we need to have a cosmic perspective of what he is doing in the world. We have no other choice than to do just that. And we have so many different debates that we like to argue about, right? So many different things. And some of these, I'll also tell you, some of these might be really near and dear to your heart, right? And these aren't the only ones. There's plenty others. And so, you know, predestination versus free will, or Democrat versus Republican, songbooks, projector slides. This is like old school versus new school. Instrumental worship, a cappella worship. That's a big one at the heart of the Church of Christ, right? Those of you who've been a part of the Church of Christ for a long time, that's a huge debate. And then the newest one, it's ripping the church apart. Chick-fil-A versus Popeyes. And And so if you're on social media, you've heard Popeyes has a new chicken sandwich. Supposedly it rivals Chick-fil-A. I think they're kidding themselves, but, you know, to each their own. And perhaps we pick a side of this. And let me say, I'm not going to tell you that if you pick a side, you're wrong, okay? Let me say, this is, you are entitled to your opinion. You are entitled to your perspective. And regardless of what side you would pick on any of these, I'm going to tell you, like, that doesn't mean that we can't be friends anymore, that you're not welcome to come to church here, that, well, we're going to have a stern talking to, all right? We all have our own opinions that we're entitled to, but perhaps we need to take each of these and zoom out of what we're trying to prove, because what we'll oftentimes do, let's just take the theological or doctrinal debates here. We try to, you know, the first thing that people do is, all right, let's go to our Bibles. And what do you look for when you look in your Bibles? It's obvious, right? You look for the scriptures that prove you right. Don't you? Or am I just, that's just me? Okay, cool. So that's what everyone does though, right? You're thinking, I'm going to prove how I'm right. And then the number two thing you're thinking about is, how do I find other scriptures that prove this other person's scripture wrong? Because isn't that what we do? So in our polarity and hate culture, if you're on social media and Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, you can find plenty of hate platform. And what I'm talking about there is how many people will post their beliefs on this, and they're welcome to post, but then other people have to comment. And what it ends up being is, I'm either going to get you to convince you to come over to my side of the argument, or I'm going to do everything in my power to convince you that you're stupid. It's one or the other. And it gets, I mean, if you've been on any of those message boards, it gets nasty. Okay? Many of you probably know. It gets nasty. I had to take a break from social media for a year at one point. It was driving me nuts. I unfollowed a whole lot of people in the process. But what if we just took these debates and just zoomed out a little bit? And we tried to think, what are some things that we can go ahead and we can agree on here and now? And for some of the nitty-gritty, we can agree to disagree. But what if we just said, let's come together. Let's find, what are the big pictures that we can come together? If we look at predestination versus free will, there's going to be people who really do have their heart set on one side or the other. But I think one thing we can agree on is that God is sovereign over all. Regardless of what side you believe in, God is sovereign over all things. Regardless of whether or not you believe that our destination is already determined. For Democrat versus Republican, can't we all agree that we're all Americans who want what is best for the American people? We just have different ways of going about accomplishing that. Is that fair to say? Can I say that and not step on any toes? I know some people think, well, Republicans are great. No, Democrats are great. That, okay, their strategies of making America a great place might be crazy in your opinion. That's fine. But we all want what's best, don't we? Songbooks, projector slides, a cappella, instrumental worship. Isn't the important thing that we praise and worship God? Amen. One way or another? And you might have your preference. You might think, you know, that songbook, it looks so appealing. I want to pull it out. I want to hold it. I want to hold it close and sing from it because that's what I grew up with. And that's cool, okay? There's a bit of nostalgia there, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the projector slides either. And we think we might want to preserve and have something a certain way, and you have your preference, and that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But can't we all just praise and worship together? But let's be honest. If you don't like the Chick-fil-A sandwich, you don't love Jesus, okay? We're just going to leave that last one there. All right, that's important. Let's just put it out there. I'll be for it if you want to come forward, and I'll pray over you if you felt otherwise. No, but we look at those, and those aren't nearly as big of a deal. And part of it, we don't take the sandwich deal as that big of a deal because we think it's not that paramount. But how many things weren't that big of a deal to us, and so many people started arguing and fussing and fighting that it became something where it actually did become a big deal when in the grand scheme of things, it's not. But I do want to ask, this is an important question, where do we draw the line, right? There has to be a point where we do say, this is where we need to come to, we have to come to agreement. As a church, any organization, religious or not, we have to come together and agree on some things or we're going to have a hard time continuing to come together, right? It's going to be really, really difficult. So here's what I want to describe, and this is something that churches, I've heard churches say, well, this church isn't going to stand because we don't agree on this. There is a difference between unity and uniformity. Okay? The difference between unity and uniformity, well, let's kind of break these down and what they are. Unified means we might not agree on everything, but we do love and care about each other. Uniform means we have to agree on absolutely everything, or we cannot be together at all. Uniformity can oftentimes speak to people being forced to feel and think a certain way. Perhaps you were at one point part of an organization or even a church, I can tell you I was, that uniformity was required and they confused it with unity. They are not the same thing. They can be, but they are not necessarily the same thing. And our church, and you can look in Scripture, we are called to be unified, not uniform. You can look throughout Scripture. It does not say that we have to all come together to agree on every single thing. But where do we draw the line? Where do we say we need to be uniform? Because as an organization, we do need to be uniform on some things. Not everything, but on some things. Where is that? We find it in the Scripture. Paul says it very straightforward. What's fascinating about this passage, Ephesians 4, and the book of Ephesians altogether, Ephesians is the letter that Paul wrote that most scholars believe was a pass-around letter, meaning he sent it to the church in Ephesus and then told them, pass it around to other churches in the nearby area. You're not going to send a letter to address specific things. Like if you look in most of Paul's other letters, Paul will address different issues that were going on in those particular churches, right? He doesn't really do that in Ephesians, and that's one of the big reasons they think that it was passed around. So, if he knows it's going to be passed around, he's going to say things in this letter that he thinks should be told and heard by multiple churches. As in, we could consider this a universal type of command to all the churches, including us. So what does Paul say? As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. This is powerful because Paul is saying, here is where you need to be uniform. Here is how you need to think. Here is what you need to have a vision and a view on and say, we are not going to budge any other way. Because you do have to put your foot down. Because if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. So, what Paul is saying, here are some things you can take a stand on. Here are some things that I need you to be unified on. And it's fascinating that before that, he says, be completely humble and gentle, patient, bearing with one another in love. You know what that sounds like? They're struggling to get along. You don't tell people that who are doing a great job of it. You say, keep on, right? So he's saying this to people who actually are struggling. And what he's saying is, do everything you can. And sometimes you need to part ways. But do everything you can to love people through your disagreements with them. And that is so, so powerful. And what he's saying below this is, here are the things you do need to be unified on. And so here are the things where you need to put your foot down. That you need to say, I will not make exceptions for this. This is what I will be viewing and thinking. There is one body, as in, we are the church. There is one Spirit whom our church interacts with, the Spirit of God, just as you were called to one hope, the one hope of the resurrection through Jesus Christ. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism, as in when we give our lives over to God, we believe that we do it through the immersion and the reenactment of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is paramount to who we are as followers of Christ. one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. If you look through the Old Testament, the number one thing when it talks about how the Israel did evil in the eyes of the Lord, it doesn't say that they fought, that they murdered, that they stole, that they raped. It doesn't say any of those things. You know what it says? It says they worshiped other gods. That was evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so if we're going to put our foot down on these things, here's some things we have to say. We will be unified through this, and through this passage, and through these words, and through our God. This is my last time to preach in 2019, and come 2020, the first Sunday of 2020, it's already been announced about a month ago that we're going to begin a class. And that class is going to be discussing women in God's service and women's roles. And this is a hot button topic. This is something where some people want to really, really dig their feet in on one side or the other. The reason I say this, if we go back, can I go back? Yes. You'll notice in that passage, there is nothing about women's roles in this passage that where we need to be uniform on. Now, if you have your preference, your thought, your view, that's fine. I am not advocating for one side or the other right now. But what I am advocating for is that instead of, as you prep and as we get ready, instead of you finding all the different passages of Scripture where it says how you're right and other people are wrong, you instead zoom out and ask yourself, what is God calling our church into? What will be something that lives out the mission of God here in San Antonio and Helotes? And perhaps this is the direction we should go, regardless of what conclusion you arrive at. And we're going to be studying this deeply, but my call and my plea is that you have open ears, open eyes, and open hearts. Because at the end of the day, we love each and every person here in this body. We do not have to be uniform on this belief. We do need to be unified beyond it, though. That is absolutely paramount to us. So here's what I think it comes back to. And this is what everything comes back to, isn't it? Perhaps you've been so busy sticking your foot down. Next year we also have a presidential election. And I'll tell you, 4 years ago it got nasty, didn't it? If you jump on any social media, it got gross. As far as people trying to prove themselves wrong, your news was fake news, my news is real news, you're crazy. You know, and if you found videos after the election, there were literally people fighting in streets. It was awful. And we could have some really harsh and angry words that were said between parties as this class goes. But if we look and can we agree that Jesus gave his life for both those who agree and those who disagree, Jesus died for both sides. And perhaps we need to come back to that. Let's find this unity and this value that we can come back to and say that we're going to love each other through our differences. And perhaps you've lost the cross and you've gotten so enamored by proving yourself right. We're going to give you an opportunity to either go to the back and pray with one of our shepherds or a wife. And if you'd like to come forward and ask public prayers, I'll be down front to receive you. So let's stand. Let's go to the back of the front as we sing this next song.